tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Masters of Sex AfterBuzz After Show. We are reviewing tonight Episode 5, Matters of Gravity. But before we begin, we'll go ahead and introduce ourselves. I am Adrienne Snow. You can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Miss Adrienne Snow. That's M-S-A-D-R-I-N-I-A-N at S-N-O-W. I forgot how to spell my own name.
Hi guys, my name is Quinn Skillion. You can find me on Twitter at Quinn Skillion. I'm so bummed. I thought we were gonna have "Where Is the Love?"
Next time,
our intro music. Oh well.
I'm Julianne Emery.
Yes,
we have a special guest today.
Yes, we were gonna say we have a special guest, Julianne Emery, who would play Joe on tonight's show.
The unwelcome triad of the threesome.
Yes. Yes. I disagree. The super welcomed.
Yeah. Do you have a Twitter or Instagram?
I am. I'm at Julianne Emery, J-U-L-I-E-A-N-N-E-M-E-R-Y. And Twitter is, Instagram is the same, okay. At Julianne Emery.
Awesome.
And I'm Yael Teagle, jumping in for Will.
Yeah.
You can call me Will. You can tweet at me at Yael Teagle. That's Y-A-E-L-T-Y-G-I-E-L.
Perfect. Yeah. All right. So I just want to go ahead and get everyone's first thoughts on tonight's show. How did everyone feel about it?
I was really excited about it. I really liked it. But I want to say that I'm really sad that the Margaret Graham Joe thing ended. I don't want that.
I know. You were super on team polyamory.
I was like, finally, a proper discussion about polyamory on TV, on the perfect show for it. We're going to have a great in-depth look at it.
I knew it wasn't going to last.
Sorry. Well, and a discussion that's not about that's not religious.
Mm-hmm.
It
was great that we found out the reason, because this guy is someone who's traveled a lot. Mm-hmm. He did a lot of research about cholera, and that's why his whole thing was like, no, in the world, monogamy is
the exception.
You know what I mean? So I think that was really interesting that they kind of colored it and gave us a little background as to, like, you know, why he is so open-minded about this kind of stuff, and, you know, why he even would think to do this in the first place.
Mm-hmm. I think what's interesting about it is this relationship would raise eyebrows today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In 2015.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, if you knew one of your girlfriends that was Joe, that mm-hmm. was in this relationship, you'd be like, girl,
you need to get out.
You need to tread lightly.
Just so we're clear, not in my friend group.
No. My friends don't roll like that.
Right on.
My friends would be like, oh, there's like, 5 of us? All right.
28 orgies, 24/7.
Noted.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it would have been a really great dynamic to see furthered. But I just knowing, like, the character of Margaret, it just seemed like it was such a direct opposite of what she had been dealing with prior.
Mm-hmm. She even laid that all out.
Yeah, and that she was just trying to escape from it so quickly that she didn't really think about, like, well, is this what you really want? Is this, like, what's healthy for you at this point?
Because she loved him.
Yeah.
She loved him.
Yeah.
She, you know, and she, I think she was so happy to finally kind of, like, feel that reciprocated, that love was finally mm-hmm. reciprocated.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just think that, like, she tried. She really did try, but I could tell even when we first were introduced to this last episode that mm-hmm. she was just like, there was just like this hint of doubt about the whole thing. You could kind of see just color it.
Well, yeah. It's not
for the
everybody.
Record, I think he loved her.
I do 100%.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
He's going to therapy with her.
Yes.
Doing things that is usually kind of awkward and weird, and, you know, he must really liked her.
Yeah. He became open to letting her lead.
That was great.
Right.
Particularly in the time period.
Yeah.
I mean, and speaking as just an actor, one of my favorite storylines on the show has always been the Beau Bridges, Alice and Janney storyline. I was only on set one day with the two of them together, mm-hmm. but just to be there for that was really, was really a treat, was really wonderful.
Yeah. How was the overall experience of even watching it after you've been? I'm sure it's been a while since you actually
mm-hmm.
shot it.
We shot in June, so it's not been that long.
Okay.
It was, you know, the experience of watching something for the first time that I'm in is difficult for me. Mm-hmm. But
that wasn't the first time you'd seen it. Was that the first time you'd seen it?
It was.
No way!
Yes.
it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Actually, when I sat down, I sat in the corner on purpose in case I wanted to cry a little bit.
I totally get that. That's how I feel when I watch this stuff back.
I'm so glad we could be there for you.
Yes, support.
Yeah.
And I'm really glad I didn't tell you guys that before. but it was what struck me when I was watching it. Adam Arkin directed the episode, who I always have admired as an actor, but left that situation with such respect for him as a director. Mm-hmm. He really pushes the scenes to sort of their outside boundaries. And I saw him all over the episode tonight. You know, Adam has a very sort of dry, quirky sense of humor, and I saw that humor all over the episode. It was interesting. I don't think you see that all the time in television where a director really leaves their mark, and I thought he really did tonight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was a couple of things that were pretty, like, significant. Like, the very end, when after Bill gave his speech, there was some fun, a little filmmaking, you know, they played around a little bit with that stuff.
Yeah.
Style-wise,
which
is always
nice to
see. And
one of the scenes in his house, Libby pops up from below. You see her like appear from where below where the cabinets are.
Uh-huh.
And
I thought there
were some interesting little quirks and some interesting editorial takes that he always chooses things with a little wink and a little sense of humor.
Nice, how exciting! Well, did you watch the show?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
So you kind of like got it. It wasn't like having to jump on board like into a whole new world.
No, I mean, I've had a lucky year that way. I've wound up on things that I am a fan of. So
that's really always awesome. Isn't
that's nice. It's nice to not be craving for homework.
Right. I love this. It's great.
Well, that's cool. To already kind of be in love with all the characters and everything, and just kind of slip right in.
So yeah. I mean, it creates like a different kind of. I mean, this kind of show lends itself to sort of some research and some homework. Yeah. But when you watch the show, there's, you know, less of that you have to do.
Yeah.
It's nice.
No.
Yeah.
Cool.
Very cool.
Well, did you guys want to just go ahead and jump into the first topic of Johnny?
Yeah.
All right. So, we hadn't seen Johnny in a while.
I always forget that they have kids.
Well, because we never see them. I think we saw
First episode was the big
thing. And then he came back for a brief moment, I think, later on.
At some point. Mm-hmm. There was a kid.
Maybe. Yeah. I know the daughter definitely came back. Just to kind of say something about mommy, what's wrong with John.
Yeah, I was going to say they were...
Yeah, that was it. So it was nice to see Johnny, because I think that actor whose name I need to get, and I forgot to do it before the show started tonight, is so amazing.
Like, he's so grounded, especially for a kid.
Yeah.
He's like, feels like an old soul.
Yeah.
He's a really good little actor.
Yeah.
He's a total pro.
Holding it down.
Yeah.
But it was a nice kind of topic for them to touch on, just how abuse kind of, like, how children who are abused, like Bill was abused as a child, kind of...
It's like a cycle.
Everything always comes back to
meaning
Bill's
to,
dad.
Yeah, end up reinforcing that cycle. And even though he thought that he was correcting the bully's actions, he himself was enforcing that.
You mean our true detective moment? I don't know if anyone else thought this, but when he got out of the car to go, like, give this guy a talking to, I was like, he's gonna pull out the brass knuckles, like on True Detective. But it didn't happen.
Well, he became the bully.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly. And so it's just kind of, you think that you're gonna correct the behavior by you know, bullying out of a bully, but you're just kind of enforcing it.
And you could tell, like, after the conversation, Bill wasn't any happier. Yeah. You know what I mean? Same thing with Wright, you know, when he had finally proven to everybody at Wash U, when he finally got, like, the applause that he wanted, he wasn't any happier.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And I definitely want to touch on that speech, because it was amazing.
Don't you think parents, I mean, I think that's really difficult to watch your kid get bullied and beaten up and not want to exact some punishment for that.
Yeah, you guys ready for this kid's name?
Yeah.
Yes.
Jaden Lieberher.
Jaden Lieberher.
Jaden, and then it's going to be Lieberher. So you guys can
Lieberher.
Right on.
Lieberher.
I'm a fan, dude. You're great.
Jaden. Yeah, he's killing it.
I think the best thing Bill should have done was you go and you bully the parents, right? Like, you don't yell at a 13.
Bully a plumber.
I mean, the same way that he bullied this 13-year-old. You say all that. You say it to the dad because that's, I think, going to make the dad talk to the kid. Because him bullying this kid, he just picked on a 13-year-old and made him pee his pants. That's not going to fix anything.
I mean, for the, just for a child, well, and I always beat up my bullies. Like, that's what I was taught as a kid, was, like, if you, yeah, if your bully hits you, you hit them back harder. Like, that's what I was taught.
That's badass.
Yeah, so, but, so, for me, it was kind of fun.
You sit next to her.
It was, like, strangely sad and a little bit of fun to see him kind of, like, stick it to this bully, even though he's an adult and it's completely inappropriate. There was a part of me that kind of laughed at just like, this is so inappropriate.
And so immature.
Yeah. So immature. But at the same time, I feel like if, and maybe this just is because I was told to punch bullies, but if he had told Johnny, this is what you say to that bully. Mm-hmm. This is what you do.
Yeah.
You know, I think that would be the better way to go about it.
But they're not dealing with just that issue of bullying.
Yeah.
They're dealing with a man who suffered severe childhood abuse.
Yeah.
So that, I mean, I don't think that it was even, it was bullying, but I don't think they were even trying to address that in the show. I think they were trying to address the fallout of being continually physically abused.
Isn't it so crazy that when Bill thought that Johnny was the one who started the fight,
he was proud.
He was proud.
Didn't even think to reprimand.
Yeah.
And then when this kid is the one who started the fight, Bill tore him a new butthole.
Right.
Well, what's weird is that Libby also seemed proud because when she presented the letter to Bill, she was like, it's not what we thought. He didn't start the fight. Like, as though our son lied to us about being this badass. I'm so disappointed.
You know, what's interesting is to see that written. I mean, that is truly a period thing. I don't think a show set in 2015 could write that way and get away with it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know.
I think we'd be very up in arms.
We'd
right
be like,
now.
Oh, come on, a letter.
Right. Yeah.
He should be expelled.
I know.
I mean, that said, for fighting, you should be expelled.
Well, there's kids a different beating up on one, and the teacher made him write a letter.
Yeah.
I know.
I mean, and also, there was a boys will be boys mentality that was always happening, right. You know.
And that's still kind of informed. You know, it's not like, I mean, even when I was a kid, you dealt with your bullies. Like, it wasn't like something that your parents really came in on. And if they did, it was something more like what Bill would have done.
Yeah, but
it was,
it's
like,
different
talking
now.
To a parent.
Now is different than when we were kids.
Yeah, I don't
know. Have you ever seen God of Carnage?
No, but
yes.
It's
a play.
It's great.
And it's about these two parents whose kids got into a fight, and the two parents get together, and they, like, have to hash it out, and they just go nuts.
You know, what's interesting is when you were saying that about he should have said that to the dad, I was sitting here thinking, well, not everybody takes that well.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what God of Carnage is about.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
It is still, like, kind of a cycle that we're stuck in. I mean, there was a big issue of people talking about bullies last year. I think even the movie came out about childhood bullies. And so it's still something that is relevant. And I think it's still sort of being dealt with in that same way. This is what I mean. I don't know. I don't have children. I don't interact with children.
Yeah, but a lot of the stuff we're talking about is just like how things that happened to you in your childhood. You know,
it's
we
cyclical.
Have Tessa with everything that she's been going through.
Yeah.
And now we have, you know, the bully thing. And just kind of like, what does that do to a person? What kind of adult do those kids turn into after stuff like this?
Well, and you've also, they set up a situation in that last scene where Bill is telling his son that he didn't want to be around his dad and would rather run away and go read a book.
Away.
And then the kid runs away and reads the book. The kid is basically like, I don't want to be around
I don't want to be either. Yeah.
Also, how dare he spoil that book?
Right. Yeah, hashtag spoilers, Bill. Come on. I would run away from me, too.
Yeah, it was
He's
so
like, thank
rude.
You.
I loved that book. Do you remember when this happened?
Right.
And I was waiting for Johnny to be like, whoa, haven't gotten there yet.
Yeah, but he even said, have you gotten to the part where... And then he just went on.
Yes.
He didn't stop.
Yeah.
It
was rude.
It was so funny that, like, until the last scene, like, the conversation that Bill had with the bully was, like, was way longer than any conversation we've seen him have with
Johnny. Son, yeah.
This is the most eloquent that Bill has been... ever. Like, in terms of, like, his ability to just...
I know.
This entire episode.
Make speeches. Yeah. It's just been beautiful.
I know. We were nervous before the speech. It was like, oh, no, Virginia hasn't read it. If Virginia hasn't put her touch on it, then it's going to suck.
Yes. But I think what it kind of also plays into is just the lack of honesty that happens in a lot of the relationships. I think if Bill had taken that moment to address, like, his own... He doesn't even have to say it was his father, but his own experience with being bullied, you know, to kind of find a way to connect.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe Bill isn't really there. You know, it takes a lot to be vulnerable in that way, especially with your child or any relationship.
Well, also part of being abused as a child is keeping it secret.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it just speaks a lot to that kind of theme that they seem to be having this season about people... just connecting. Needing to reach out and to connect, but not really knowing how to do that.
Same thing with Barton. When we were watching Barton make the phone call to his daughter, and I'm just saying, I just want to hear him say it. God, I just want to hear him say it. And they still didn't let us hear him say it. And I was like, oh, you show, you dumb show.
Well, maybe we'll cut to it.
No.
Yeah. They won't.
I think they're going to hold us hearing it as long as they can.
They know. But then, I mean, so we've got you know, Barton looking to connect. We've got, Margaret looking to connect. We're still waiting for this conversation between Virginia and Tessa to happen that feels like it's never going to happen.
Oh, and Tessa was definitely, I feel like she's acting out more and more. And it's really her being like, Mom, pay attention. Stuff is happening.
How old is Tessa at this point? I think
she's
17? Like 16?
No, 14. Yeah, younger than that.
15, 14.
Yeah.
I think they
sorry, I'm flashing
episode.
Back to another episode with the, you know, the dance and the, sorry.
No. We had a long talk about
that. I'm sure. Yeah.
But should we go ahead and jump into Virginia and the parents?
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
Tessa,
yeah,
based off of that. So, how did everyone feel about Tessa? It's just like,
it felt like such a roundabout way. It's like, just talk to your mom.
Well, that's what comes down to honesty.
I know.
But isn't that also what teenage daughters do?
That's pretty intense, though.
Yeah,
like putting the bow tie.
That's true.
That's like next level.
But it backfired on her.
Brat.
It totally backfired.
Well,
because Virginia's mom is ridiculous.
She had, the parents came in and definitely didn't
love her sister.
I think she was great. What Tessa was expecting to happen?
I think she was just expecting for
a moment
Virginia
she
to
were
be
out?
Exposed and and maybe shamed a bit. Just because I guess in her eyes it's kind of hypocritical.
Mm-hmm. I don't think Tessa is. That's the reason I brought up the teenage daughter kind of thing.
She's not
I don't think Tessa is thinking that far ahead. Yeah. I think Tessa is just thinking, do we curse here?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. I think she's just thinking, I'm going to fuck over my mom.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think she's got a master plan. She's just got an I hate everybody.
I just want to get back at you.
And I want to get back at you. And
angry,
I'm angry.
And she's
at
hurt
you.
Because she's had some shit.
And but so don't you think it also goes to, like, the custody, giving over custody to the dad and leaving? I mean, I'm sure.
There's a lot of things that I think they haven't really addressed with
each
other.
We're like, a lot of shoes to drop where Tessa's concerned. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, she's had to deal with a lot of stuff. So I think we're kind of waiting to watch all of those issues just boil over.
Can we just say this show writes great female parts?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah.
This show writes great women.
Mm-hmm. And even just the looks that are thrown by the women when somebody says something incredibly sexist.
Yeah, I know.
Like when Dan Logan talks about how she was, what did he say? She's like, she was pretty and smelled good about the woman who was like gin and orchids.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I didn't even want to listen.
Like,
I didn't even want to listen to her talk about orchids. I don't like those stupid things.
Do you think, though, like Tessa, like there was a moment where I was like, is it like granddaughter, like grandmother? Like, is Tessa going that direction?
In terms of her grandma, we talked
about there being probably a pretty significant relationship between them two, Tessa and grandma.
Yeah, I don't. What do you mean by like going in that in terms of?
Do you think
kind
that
of,
she would want her to steal Belle?
No, I just mean is she patterning herself as she becomes a woman like her grandmother?
Yeah.
Or like there was a moment where I was like, oh, is she gonna sort of go? Like, obviously she's angry with her mom. Is it going to be Libby? Is she... Because they toyed around in the first episode with making Tessa sort of follows Libby around.
Yeah.
They said all of those things, but we never actually saw it. They just sort of said it.
Yeah, because, like, Virginia is, like, the antithesis to her mother.
Yeah,
you
and
know
her
what
mother
I mean?
Is all scheming, and I'm like, are they trying to say
maybe.
That...
Maybe. I can see that.
Yeah. That makes a lot of sense.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, the mother is always trying to, like, move the chess pieces and scheme a little bit, and I'm like, is this, like, the 15-year-old version of that, or not?
I'd always kind of hope that they end up, for some reason, pairing her with Betty. Because I think Betty would be the better choice for her to end up kind of adopting as, like, a surrogate mother in a way.
Right. Especially because Betty, she's barren. She can't have children. So maybe this is going to be kind of her way to kind of feel like she's mothering in some way.
And also, Betty is
awesome.
saying shit the way it is.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Which
Betty
is
watching
awesome.
Betty fix Bill's back was absolutely ridiculous.
Speaking of Adam Arkin, like this crane shot straight down of him like laid over her back.
It was so funny. And then to have this like really, really silly scene into like, oh, now the Bible people are here. It's like nobody's going to take them seriously after this. Like, it was so funny.
No, yeah. It's no, it was that was a wonderful shot. And I think Betty overall is just a wonderful character because it's so refreshing. You have all these other people who are keeping all these secrets, mm-hmm. and someone's just like, I just don't have time for this. Like, yeah. I've kept all my secrets I'm going to keep.
I was hoping we might get to see Sarah Silverman again.
She mentioned her.
Yeah, she mentioned
Helen. So yeah. I assume they're
still a thing.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I think it's been announced that Sarah Silverman will be back.
I was just going to say that. That has been
formally announced.
But it wasn't really confirmed, like, what happened between her and Helen so far in the show.
But we know she'll be back.
But we do
But know. It was sort of indicated tonight that they're together.
They're together. Yeah.
And likely living together. Yeah. Right, yeah.
And she has sciatica.
Yeah. So that'll be
a little lesbians in the 60s thing going on.
That'll be nice to have them dress that. And also,
we actually don't see a lot of like, gay relationships on the show, really.
Right. I guess a little bit. That's we why did. Barton is so great.
Yeah. But we did. Yeah. I mean, we did with Betty and Helen back last season. Right. But we haven't really touched back on that.
Mm-mm. But that's time period oriented too.
Oh yeah,
right?
Definitely.
I mean. Like, in the closet meant in the closet then, you know. I mean, they were actually... I mean, they touched on race relations last season, and where is he?
We assume he's even smarter.
That's
kind of where we... But we're not sure, but that's what we just assumed.
Well, she was so upset about it.
Yeah, the first episode when she was crying.
I wish they would out what...
I know. It's weird how they just kind of like...
They jump a lot in time.
Yeah. They did, but everything else has really kind of been addressed. Like, in some way, everyone's past relationships has been addressed, even with Lester getting back together with
Does she feel that way because he's in Atlanta again and there's a lot of murder happening, or did he actually get...
I just feel like before she jumps into another affair, which we kind of, like, got a hint of, that they would address a prior affair. Like, let's just talk about that.
I think the idea of not addressing it is that... later seasons they could be like, you know what we should do? Let's bring that back. Yeah. Which
that's I wouldn't hate it. I would love a good callback.
When TV does that, when they're like, we're not going to address this because it might happen again.
And that's cool because that's when you get those moments where you go, oh yeah, him! Oh, yeah.
That's exactly what happened with Lester.
Jane.
But just to go back real quick to Virginia's parents, I don't know. It was that the last moment that she had with her mom, and also just like that need for approval. Like that was a big running theme today of just Bill's need for approval that harks back all the way to his need for approval from his father way back in the day, from people who have shunned him, you know, and to have Virginia kind of not necessarily really want or need her mother's approval, but to kind of receive it in the end.
In a way she doesn't want. And then Bill gets the, you know, from the university, gets what he wants, but doesn't really want it.
Yeah, you know. It's just, it was very interesting to see that moment, because you think, up until she says that very last thing of, steal him, which my mother always said that you could steal a man as long as he wasn't married. But to hear a mom
go
like,
get him,
like,
honey.
Yes.
Do you think that
break
also
this marriage.
Is that supposed to tie in a little bit with Margaret and Graham finally be able to be, like, kind of finally fixing their problem and then breaking up?
We'll get to that. Okay. We'll get to that. I don't want to jump.
I was just wondering if that was a parallel, but it's fine.
Of just like them. Say it again.
Finally getting what they want, and then not wanting it anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe not.
I don't know. I think with just with her mom saying that in the end, it was such a moment of like, okay, yes, I have this approval. It feels, you just made my entire life, my entire career about a man.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like all the way back to what she thought in the beginning of like, well,
mom's old school.
I think it also plays into when we discovered the beauty pageant thing, that she wanted it and that her mom always wants the best for her.
What did you guys think about that? About her having that memory wrong?
I mean, we all have I would start to think of that. I was like, I remember when I did that to my mom, and I'm that jerk. Which was
I just
real
was
bad.
Wondering if you guys think that like that that Virginia had any kind of like a moment of self awakening or kind of like a moment of self reflection there?
It didn't seem like it. I think if they had done. I think if the next scene between Virginia and her mom had been maybe talking about that or addressing it, that would have been more of an awakening. But for the next scene to be, because the next scene was them after the speech.
I wonder if it's not that mom always names what Virginia actually wants, but Virginia doesn't want to see that. You know, so like the thing at the end is her naming what Virginia maybe
what she kind of wants.
Would want.
Yeah,
that's a big topic of discussion here. Is like, does Virginia want? To want that like little neat house, you know.
Well, they're kind of playing house now.
Yeah,
I mean the baby. They're at her house now.
Yeah,
and you
have
that moment at the top of the show where they're talking about how great it is that nothing. Finally, they have this moment to themselves.
Oh, that was really sweet. Which is what parents of small kids do.
Yeah, right.
Finally,
yeah.
We got him to go to sleep.
Have our time. I assume I don't have children.
Yeah, so. I haven't really thought about that. I never considered, because it just seems like Virginia's been so against them being, like, in a romantic... They've been romantically involved, but in terms of being, like, committed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I don't know, maybe Virginia has some serious commitment issues.
I always thought that was her trying to say, no, I'm not doing anything wrong. I'm doing this for the work. I'm doing this for the science. And if I admit that, then there's all the work, but it's more complicated.
I mean, I think you're totally right, though, now that I've been thinking about it, that her mom was like...
No, that could be just my fantasy run wild. No, that happens with me. No, we should all just admit that now. Yeah.
But that sounds so, like, because Virginia's never going to admit, even if that is what she wants, she's never going... I don't think she'd ever admit that.
Yeah.
And I don't think she even... knows that she's not admitting that she wants
her. And actively sabotages it for herself over and over
again. And also, you know, she likes Libby. She doesn't want to do that to Libby. Yeah. That's huge.
But
that's
Which is why I suggest polyamory.
Well, they did kiss that one time, even though that wasn't really romantic.
Right.
Whatever. I think it's the blossoming of a beautiful family.
When I saw that promo where they were in bed and they kissed, I was like, huh? Oh, is this the season of threesomes? I'm so confused.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
Yes. Well, to jump on that, we should go ahead into Margaret.
Yeah, we should.
And Joe. And Graham. Mm-hmm. How did everyone feel about just that overall dynamic of seeing Margaret kind of throw down and be like, no, I don't like this. I'm not happy with this.
Well, it was interesting because what we were talking about last week is, does Graham also have the premature ejaculation problem with Joe? And that was answered in this episode. That yes, he has that problem with both women.
Yeah.
And so I think
Did not have it before there were two of them.
Yeah.
And also that Margaret and Graham were together before.
Right.
You know, for some reason, I got the feeling that, like, Joe and Graham had been together and then Margaret kind of came in. I don't know why I got that vibe.
I think the reason we all thought that is because we knew that Margaret isn't the person who would be down with this situation, right?
Right.
Like, we knew that this isn't Margaret's idea.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that... if it was Joe and Graham before Margaret and she came in and he was like, I want to be with you, but also, by the way, I have this other woman, then that's what we assumed would happen. But the fact that she was like, I could be okay with this, was such a different side of Margaret that we've never seen.
I did think that Margaret was first.
Yeah,
because I thought... for a woman who had lived in such an opposite way of that life beforehand... that it would make sense for her to try and be as comfortable as possible with things that were completely different from what she experienced
Margaret
before.
Margaret is so open about herself. She's, like, so clear. Like, she literally laid out word for word why she ended up with Graham and how and why he was so different from Barton and all that stuff. And she's like, you know, he's not broken. I'm broken. Like, she's so... I don't know. She's so quick to criticize herself, but she's also very self-aware. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
She's very self-aware of her whole process and what she's been going through, and also doubting as well, you know, that even Barton can kind of be like, but you have changed. The fact that you even left this man.
Yeah.
You know, they held on for so long.
I know. 30 years.
For so long.
30-0.
Yeah. Even for once we discovered as an audience, like, what was going on with Barton... they still tried to hold on. Even when she found out, she was still trying to hold on. Even when she was sleeping with that really handsome doctor, she was still holding on to...
I miss him.
Blonde.
Yeah.
To that possibility.
Loved him.
So that is a big shift when you can go, I'm trying, but this is not what I want. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to walk out now and do what I need to do.
Well, she's going to, I mean, you know, hopefully with everything that happened at the end, she's going to be able to have a really good relationship with her daughter, who I can't remember the actress is, because I know
she's actually not
she's
zombie blonde. Now.
Yeah. Okay. I forget her name.
Crap. It's Rose McIver, guys.
She's
Rose
Thank
McIver.
You.
Thank you.
She's Tinkerbell on Once Upon a Time. Liv Moore on iZombie. Rose McIver.
Okay, Rose McIver. Well, I'm excited to see her back.
Who
I'm sure she'll be back.
Australian?
Yeah.
Not American?
Yeah.
Of course.
They're all Australian.
Seriously.
These days. It feels like all these actors are Australian.
Well, I'm from Tennessee, so.
You know. Well, thank God for that.
America. I want to ask about a scene specifically.
Yes.
So when Margaret and Graham are having sex.
Yes.
And you're overhearing the sound. Can you tell me how exactly this was shot and what you're actually hearing?
I'm going to tattle on the crew a little bit. So they weren't actually, I mean, that was shot as two separate scenes, obviously, as it always is. You're not actually ever listening. Most often you're not even looking at what, you know, is actually happening on the other side of the camera, which is an interesting thing when you start bringing people to set. Like, even when you're just turning around on, say, my coverage, I'm hopefully can see the actor's eyes, but I'm also looking at 15 other people, and there's a giant camera there, and, you know. So we did it first, and everybody was really respectful, and I was just pretending to hear, you know, and then the first AD started playing something on his phone, like farm animals. And then Adam got involved, Adam Arkin got involved. I mean, they started just sort of, I mean, I think once they knew they had the shot, then they just started like, messing. They started totally just messing with me. I know. It was great. It's a very nice,
nice set of Masters of Sex, they treat sex with a lot of respect.
Well,
obviously.
I mean, look, shooting a sex scene, which I happily did not have to do in this episode.
But you are in bed with people.
I am in bed with people.
Yeah, you snuggled right on in there.
And actually, the first thing we shot was me in bed with Tate, and then the next thing we shot was me in bed with Allison. I mean, we really just jumped right in.
Just get right into it.
And I love that thing, too, where you just think she's there, and then Joe pops up, and she's like, I could not sleep.
Like, Joe, what's up, babe? What are you doing here?
She's like, well, I just couldn't sleep. I was just... but sex scenes are... There's a lot of tension when you shoot a sex scene, and it can be awkward, and it can be hard, and sometimes the best thing that can happen is for there to be a little humor.
Funniness,
And a little, like, just to break the tension, and they shoot a lot of that stuff on that set, so I don't think it's surprising that they go at it with a little sense of humor. Respect, for sure, but a little sense of humor.
No, I would take that over being super serious any day.
Oh, my God.
Freak
that,
you out.
That gets just torturous.
Yeah.
It depends on the people. I mean, usually they take the lead off the actors and... You know how they feel about it, but there was all manner of things happening on the other side of that door. Yeah,
woo-hoo.
Yeah, that's and awesome. Also, you know, on the set, what's on the other side of the door I was standing is not actually the bedroom. The bedroom on that set was off to the left. Yeah, yeah.
Right. I'm glad
it's
I
all kind of movie like, magic,
TV
right?
magic.
It's all cardboard.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, that's awesome. Gosh, I'm so tired, you guys. I apologize. I did want to ask about just like overall, how was it shooting that scene with Tate and Allison? That competition scene,
the big scene.
Yeah.
That scene, you know, they had Allison for a very short period of time, so we shot both episodes in 3 days, and the scripts were they weren't quite up to those episodes yet, so we. The scripts were coming in fairly late, so so we were struggling a little bit to keep up with it, which it doesn't come off at all. It's intimidating. Allison Janney, she's one of my heroes. You know,
it's Allison Janney.
I think I've watched West Wing at least 5 times, the entire series, I will happily go back and watch it again tonight when I get home. I think she's always brilliant. I think she's always wonderful, and she's not intimidating at all in real life. I mean,
that's
she's
awesome.
Very self-deprecating, and she's one of the tribe. And, you know, with actors in L.A., you're either sort of on a celebrity track or you're one of the tribe. You know, you're just working it out, and
working
she's
after.
The real deal. And but it was intimidating to play that scene across from her, you know, and we shot my coverage first, which just made me feel filled with anxiety that I didn't accomplish what, you know, what would play across from her.
It's awesome.
But she's lovely and quite wonderful, and Tate is lovely, and so is, and Beau Bridges is the nicest man in the world. So awesome. That was great, yeah. But it was intense, and it was, and we play, I mean, that scene, it's interesting to see what they cut together, because the way Adam directs, we played the scene. At one point, we were both crying through the whole thing. At one point, we were screaming at each other through the whole thing. So it's interesting sort of what they sort of pulled it. Yeah, what they sort of pulled it to.
I thought there was like so much truth in that. It was exactly how it would be. You know what I mean? Yeah. Just like just as, you know, awkward and like frustrating as
and
you'd
awful.
Think.
Yeah. It's awful. But to really actually say those things out loud.
To say those things to someone.
And we played a lot with Joe with like when she, when is she pretending it's all okay and when is she going to out it? Like, is does she walk in with that from the very top? So is she almost wanting to punish them from the very top, or is she playing it off for as long as possible?
When you were looking at Joe, did you have it like she was cool with it? She was just trying to, or she just really liked this guy, or what, you know?
So, in my mind, Joe is, insecure, and almost looking, I think, as a character, she's almost the opposite of Allison, of Margaret, but what's driving her to be in the relationship is similar. I mean, I think she's, desperate to hold on to a man. I mean, if I look at my, I'm not in my 20s. And I know Margaret says Joe is young and beautiful, but I don't think Joe thinks that about herself. I think Joe thinks, "Wow, I'm getting to be over the hill." Because if we're in the 60s, and you look at a woman in her mid to late 30s, then she's not married and no kids. So that sort of indicates maybe she's never been married. So
it's too late at this point.
That's right. I think Joe has a certain amount of desperation there that she's making it okay with herself as well. Yeah. There's a line that changed in the rewrites when Margaret says Joe is young and pretty. She's got time, or she. It used to. It said something about why don't you? That line used to be directed at me. You can find someone else. You can find someone better. And I said, well, you can find someone better too. Yeah. And I think she really believed that, even though it didn't wind up in the scene. I kept that in my homework.
Well, I really appreciated though that Joe, that they coming from, I guess, this mindset of being so honest with each other, was really open to say like, you want him to love you more.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that's not something I think in any situation where you want to ask someone that question and really hear the answer.
And that's hard. I mean, there's a certain amount of that was interesting to see what they chose strength in that moment, but that moment played on the shoot day incredibly vulnerable. Yeah. Like, I mean, there was a take where I was really sobbing, and then there was that take where she was sort of going at it, which I think was the right thing in the end to make, to give that strength so that Margaret had something to play off of better. But I think a lot of women in this time period, women were starting to work and starting to get jobs. So it was still very difficult.
Yeah.
And even now, we're still dealing with a situation where women make less money, even to do the same jobs, where there are areas even in our business where women are not welcome.
Trying to take away women's medical.
That's exactly right. We're still dealing with contraception issues for women in healthcare. So I think there is a certain amount of desperation in Joe that I think plays to the time period. At the end of the day,
I think it's interesting also that she's a travel agent, because there's something funny about that. Like, she's on the brink of something exciting, but
she doesn't actually go there.
Yeah.
Like, they become friends because she's like, tell me what Paris is like.
Right.
But
she
books people to Paris all day long. Yeah. She sits with her little headset on and writes
it gives us like a adventure. big window into her life.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
knowing that, yeah. that that's how they met.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Amazing.
Really, really cool.
Yeah, unfortunately, I think we are at time, so we're going to start wrapping everything up.
Is there anything?
There's so many things.
We didn't get to the We talked about the speech, I think.
We did talk about
the speech. Well, speech was amazing. The last speech.
If anyone has, like, final comments on the speech, like,
yes,
let's go.
I said this when we watched it, yeah, that someone, when they proposed to me, that's right, people out on the Twitterverse, when you propose, I want you word for word what Bill said about love and gravity.
It was the absolutely most beautiful thing. And especially for it to come from Bill Masters' mouth of all
but
places.
It's this wonderful, like, kind of, like, harmony between his science and, like, his thinking and feeling life, which is what his tightrope that he walks this entire time. And it was just, like, this wonderful little culmination of both of those parts of him. And it was so perfect.
I think it's interesting that Virginia is in a moment where she is questioning what love is in relationships for her, and suddenly Bill's clear.
Yeah.
Like, they're almost, like, sort of swapping places.
That he's becoming more
visceral. Yeah. More vulnerable. Yeah.
It was I thought he was going to be cynical and just kind of, like, slam love, like, you don't need blah, blah, blah.
I had no idea
what
him
to go there and to talk about, just make it so epic, and the cosmos and gravity. Like,
and he goes, this little guy, I don't know if you've heard of him, Einstein.
Yes. It was so just like,
I expected him to
kind of
just
like the Adam Arkin humor you were kind of talking about, just like that. Einstein was
I mean, I thought that was, like, sprinkled all the way through all the choices. Yeah. I could just hear Adam going, what if this is a little, you know, snarky? I could just hear him coming in and giving the note. I don't know what happens if.
No, it's awesome.
God, it was awesome.
Oh,
I got goosebumps.
I was just going to say, I expected him to be like, you can't quantify love. Next question.
Right? Keep going. Because that's what we know of him.
Yeah.
But with that said, we should probably wrap into predictions. For the next episode.
Oh my god, it's terrifying.
I feel like I'm on Star Trek, the first one. The original Star Trek.
That's exactly what it is.
Beam me up, Scotty. All right.
Oh, don't make me start.
Yeah, what? You want me to start?
Yes, please.
Okay. I could start.
You want to start?
Yes.
Go for it.
I think Tessa will not tell Virginia anything until the end of the season. I think we're super headed to Virginia and Dan, the guy doing stuff.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's just Charles. I mean,
whatever.
Come on, Dreamy Bill, right?
I think.
Don't tell Mom babysitter's dead. What?
I think if we're lucky, polyamory's gonna make a comeback.
Yeah.
Bring back the gem.
You want the success.
Right? I just want it to be discussed. Mm-hmm. I think we're going to see more of Joe. I've said it. I think we're going to see more of Joe. Really, because I want to see Joe and Graham and another third person make it work.
You just really want to see polyamory.
I just want us to have an open discussion.
Yeah, and you want it to be something where you can actually see this
functioning.
Yeah, because it does. It does. You just have to have if it's two women and a man, you have to make sure the women like each other too.
Would Graham be open to two men and a woman?
I want that discussion.
You want the discussion. You don't care. Yeah. I mean,
I don't
want the actual
what
talk.
Yeah. I don't care who's with who.
What are your predictions?
I don't. Oh gosh, don't make me predict.
No,
things.
Just
I think. Like, aliens
will what do you want to see? What do you
that
want?
That Tessa is going to have sex.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what will precipitate the whole Virginia thing.
Oh, finally.
I hope we see Frances Fisher again because she's wonderful. Yes. And I think that relationship is really complex and interesting.
Yeah.
And it seems like Libby is going to have another affair.
We were all like, no.
Although I'm all for her being happy. I mean, let's be honest. Yeah, what's good for the dude is good for, you know, she should go find someone.
Get some, Libby. No. Get some.
Do you, Libby?
Do you?
I think my main thing is I'm really interested now to see more stuff about Bill and his son. I'm really excited to see what kind of developments we see in that relationship now that kind of got brought up and where he kind of left off on a very awkward note there at the end.
So I'm going to see his brother again someday. I hope Christian Borle comes back at some point.
Oh, yeah, Bill's brother.
Oh, yeah.
He came into the season in a weird way, didn't he?
Yeah.
Wait, no?
No, that was last season.
You know what I was thinking of? I think I was thinking of Mad Men. Sometimes when I think about
because of the style.
Yeah, sometimes
we're
right. Yeah.
Well, I think I hope that Betty and Tessa, like, that's what I want to see. I really want to see just Edna and Harry, Kevin Anderson, Frances Fisher come back and just kind of develop their relationship with Virginia more to kind of give us an idea of why Virginia is the way she is.
Who are you talking about?
The grandparents.
Yeah.
And lastly, I just I would like to know what's going on with Henry. Like, Is that weird?
I don't care about Henry.
No, let's just say there's going to be another divorce there soon, right? Yeah, I mean, there'll be one this season.
Aside from Tessa, I don't care about any of the kids.
Well, I just want them to kind of...
I like the little boy.
Wrap him up. Because I think that it's going in that direction where...
Yeah.
Because he's in Vietnam. So, I don't know. That was just something that kind of pops into my head. Like, well...
They'll get into that, I bet. Because it's very time period-oriented. And, you know, they'll spotlight Vietnam at some point.
Yeah. I'm also just kind of excited to see what other kind of little... now that we've had a couple things kind of wrap up in this episode, the polyamory and Barton's thing kind of feels like it got wrapped up. So I'm kind of curious to see what's the next issue?
Yeah.
What's the next
On that note, everyone, go ahead, say real quick what your names are.
Yes, my name is Quinn Skillion. You can find me on Twitter at Quinn Skillion. You can find me on Instagram at Quinstagram, and you can search for me on Vine at the Quinn Bee.
Julie Ann Emery. I'm on Twitter at Julie Ann Emery, Instagram at Julie Ann Emery, and I have a Facebook fan page, Julie Ann Emery. It's very
Yes.
You can find me online at yell.tv. That's YAEL.TV. Also Twitter, Instagram, other places at Yell Teagle. That's YAELTYGIEL.
And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miss Adrian Snow. That's MSEDRIANSNOW. All right, that about wraps us up for this episode of the Masters of Sex After Show. Thank you all so much for tuning in.
And thank you for being here.
Yes!
Thank you
for coming down. We will see you all next week.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.